Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? In this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about division and unity in the body of Christ, how to be unified, and what the process might look like. Welcome to Burnham Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Burnham. So we're talking about unity or division, I guess, in the body of Christ and what that means and how to go about getting us all on the same page. The verse we just read talks about the different types of divisions, I guess, or not so much the different types of divisions. It didn't go into that kind of detail necessarily, but it talked about the believers in Corinth. This is from Corinthians. Was written to the people in Corinthians who were the people that lived in Corinth. But they were saying, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas. And we do the same thing nowadays in the church. I get called a Calvinist because the things that I believe about the Bible line up with the things that John Calvin taught about the Bible. But the reason I follow those things is not because of John Calvin. I don't care to be called a Calvinist. I don't like hearing that because it sounds like I'm following John Calvin. I subscribe to those teachings because I feel like those are the teachings that align closest to what the Bible has to say in the area of what we call soteriology, which is the study basically of how we come about salvation. There are those that say that God predestined people, because it's what the Bible says, before the foundations of the earth, you know, were ever settled. And then there are those that say we are saved by a choice that we make of our own free will. And this episode is not about debating those points. There are a million different points that we could debate and that the church is divided on. You look at that was soteriology. You know, we're also divided on eschatology, which is the study of end times. What you believe about that, whether you believe that the 1,000-year reign is going to take place and then Jesus is going to come back, or he's going to come back and then the 1,000 years, or that maybe you believe that the 1,000 years is not even a literal, you know, 1,000. There's a million different ways you can slice just about any given subject. You can draw lines and pick sides and do all those things. But that's the problem. That's why we have ended up where we are today. And it's a problem that we even have more than one kind of church. And when I say that, I'm talking about our denominations. You know, I attend a Baptist church. And to get to my Baptist church on Sunday mornings, I drive past another Baptist church. And then I drive past another Baptist church, and then I drive past a Presbyterian church, and then I drive past a Methodist church to get to my Baptist church. So, you know, I mentioned Methodist church and Presbyterian church, and you might be able to say, well, I get why you go to a Baptist church instead of a Presbyterian church or instead of a Methodist church, but why do you go past one Baptist church to get to another Baptist church? Well, because those two Baptist churches don't believe the same things that the church, the Baptist church that I go to attends. Now, it would seem like all those churches being Baptist, they'd all be on the same page and believe the exact same things, and we just don't. So even when we look like we believe the same things, you know, some Methodist churches don't believe the same thing as other Methodist churches. And there's my buddy gave a dissertation the other night. We were talking about he's an Orthodox Presbyterian, And he gave a breakdown of the entire history of the Presbyterian Church and all the splinter groups and these types of Presbyterians and those types of Presbyterians. And it just, there's splinters off of splinters off of splinters. And, you know, it's hard to get back to the origin where the church started. And, you know, even the beginning of the Presbyterian Church or the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church was a splinter off of the original church, because the church that followed, you know, directly after Christ in the book of Acts, you know, the Bible says they were all on the same page. They're all in one accord. You know, at one point in the book of Acts, we see people, you know, selling stuff if they have to take care of each other and meet each other's needs. And they were meeting together and, you know, praying for each other and uplifting each other and studying the teachings of Jesus together and growing in Christ every single day. And they were all on the same page. They were doing the same things. There were no divisions. There were no denominations, you know, and that's the way that it should be today. You know, there shouldn't be Baptist churches. There shouldn't be Methodist churches. I'm going to get in so much trouble over this. Like, I'd say trouble. I don't care. You have to care for it to be like trouble, right? I don't care. What I'm saying is I'm going to get backlash over this. And I might have already made some of you mad. But if you're going to be mad at me, you're going to have to get in line. So there's that. But there shouldn't be denominations of churches, because we should all believe the same things. We shouldn't need to put that, you know, I don't know, moniker on our churches and separate ourselves by what we call the church. And let me just say, you know, I said that I get called a Calvinist a lot. I don't like it, you know, but it's funny that I get called a Calvinist as though it were a bad thing by someone who might call himself a Baptist or a Methodist. You know, you say that because you subscribe to a set of teachings, a particular doctrine or theology. So if you're going to label yourself one thing, you can't really bang on somebody that labels themselves something different, especially, like I said, I don't ask to be called a Calvinist. Don't do that to me. But for the sake of debate and even for conversation, so many times we end up with these labels. You're a Calvinist, or you're an Arminian, or you're an A-mill, or you're a post-mill, or you're a whatever, Paedo-Baptist, Credo-Baptist, whether or not you baptize babies or wait until there's a confession of faith. You know, and there's a million things that we can fight over, and we draw all these lines. And what we end up with, and, you know, whether you'll admit it or not, it's true, the church that you go to, you have settled on a church that most kind of probably for the most part maybe lines up with 80% of what you believe, right? So, because, yeah, you go to this church because you mostly line up with them, and you line up with them more than you line up with the other church of the same denomination down the street. You know, we settle for churches these days, and that's not how it should be either, because number one, the church should be on the same page, and two, we shouldn't settle anyway. You know, if it means starting your own church, that's what these people were doing. The guys that Paul were talking to here, they were having church in their house. You know, and even before that, before they got so divided, you know, it was still the same thing. They were meeting in a house. They were meeting in, this is the church in your particular village or whatever. But they were on the same page until these guys came in and started mixing things up and going, you know, I'll follow Cephas, or I'll follow Paul, or I'll follow Christ. If you're going to follow a person, and Paul says this a few times in the Bible, if you're going to follow me, you do it because I'm following Christ, not because you're following me. It needs to be because I look like Jesus. You know, somebody's got to preach, right? Somebody's got to teach. Somebody's got to kind of lead the study for whatever your setting is. But you're not following that person because he's that person. You're following that person because he's teaching the gospel and because he sounds like Christ when he opens his mouth. So, you know, and maybe your pastor does that, but there are probably people in your church that you don't agree with on everything in the Bible. So what do we do about that? How do we all get on the same page? If you ever heard of the Synod of Dort, that's S-Y-N-O-D of Dort, D-O-R-T. And that is a series of meetings that took place from November of 1618. They met 180 times up until May 29th of 1619. And the long and the short of it is, it was the Calvinists and the Arminians, right? And they're, the Calvinists, like we said, are going, we're predestined and God has decided that all these people are going to heaven. And the Arminians are going, no, it's a choice that we make ourselves. So the Calvinists call in the Arminians and they're going to hammer it out. We're going to get everybody on the same page. And this is how it's going to be. They met 180 times. They still didn't get on the same page, right? There's still several people in the end. I think there were 14 of them who just were, could not go along. And it just, you know, we can't get together on this and we can't. The Calvinists called the meeting. So there were 14. They called them remonstrants who just couldn't do it. Can't do it. We're not, you know. Episcopus was one of them. It's where the Episcopal Church comes from. But these guys were the followers of Jacob Arminius. And so they couldn't come to a resolution. They couldn't get together. They just couldn't make it happen. So you still have the two camps, you know, 400 years later, we're still split on that. But that was the idea, was to get together and just hammer it out. They met 180 times and they still couldn't do it. So what that amounts to is that somebody could not swallow pride and say, this is what the Bible says and we're going to go for it. And I'm, like I said, I believe what I believe and I've kind of told you what that is. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think so, or I wouldn't follow it. But maybe I am. Maybe somebody can sit down one day and compel me with scriptures and change my mind. But that's not, like I said, that's not what happened here. You know, I would have to swallow my pride and say, you know what, I've been wrong this whole time. You know, I used to be on the other side of this thing. I used to believe that it was a decision that I made, and, you know, whatever. But and that's a debate, like I said, for a different time. But somebody compelled me with scripture. And if you can't be, if you can't look at scripture and be compelled by it, then, you know, stick to what you got. If you feel like your grasp on scripture is what it is. You know, if you're going to change on something like that, it may happen later. But you need to be willing at least to swallow your pride. Now, somebody can just twist scripture and try to pitch it to you, and you need to be educated enough in the scripture to not be suckered in by something like that. But you gotta be able to swallow your pride at the same time. So if somebody can compel you, that you can say, you know what, man, I was wrong about this. That's happened to me before, not just on this issue, but on others too. These guys couldn't do it. They couldn't get together. And that, like I said, that's how we ended up what we have today. We've got the Methodists now and the Baptists and the Presbyterians and the Pentecostals. And we got all these different things because we look at the Bible and see different things. You know, my church looks at the Bible and sees any given issue. We look at the Bible and see one thing. Your church looks at the Bible and they see something else. Well, guess what? One of us is wrong. Maybe both of us is wrong, but definitely one of us is wrong. And we don't always think about it that way. We think about, you know, we're right and you're insane, or you're a heretic, or you're, you know, whatever. Now, there are issues, not that are less important. If you heard the last episode of the show, 54, with Chris Pyle, you know, we talked a little bit about this. You can kind of prioritize things. Not that they're less important, but they're not. There are issues that we talk about in the church and sometimes that we fight over and sometimes the church is split up over that aren't essential to salvation and spreading the gospel. We have to agree that, you know, there is a Trinity. There's a Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, that we're saved because Jesus died on the cross and his sacrifice covered our sins. You know, there are certain things that we have to agree on. And for the most part, in the Christian church, the church of God, I can't even explain this without naming denominations, you know, and using kind of their phraseology. But true Christianity, I guess you'd say, we believe those things. It's the other stuff that we fight over. And for some people, it's a big deal because they feel like the other side of any given argument is teaching a false gospel. And that's, you know, the Bible warns against that, and it ain't good. But there's too much pride going on. We're married to a name now and to a title and to a division, you know, a subdivision. We can all call ourselves Christians, but one of us is wrong. That's a hard pill to swallow, especially considering it might be me. So what do we do? How do we get together? I think that on the surface, the Synod of Dort was, I don't know, you read about it and you kind of say, you see that the outcome was pretty much decided before it ever started. But the basic premise on the surface was at least a good idea. That we were just going to get together, and as long as it takes to hammer this out, we're going to do it. So if we're going to unify the body of Christ, and this is, you know, this process may take years. It would definitely take years. But it would have to start with each and every one of us individually. We would have to decide what we believe about every possible scenario, you know, every piece of theology, doctrine, every point. We'd have to have an idea of what we believe. So we decide that for ourselves. And then we do it within our church. Excuse me. I go to Hollywood Baptist Church. We call it HBC Rome. And so we got to sit down at Hollywood Baptist Church. It's named for the old neighborhood. We don't think we're like movie stars or anything. It's named, the neighborhood it's in is called Hollywood. But we had to sit down at HBC Rome and say, we're going to stay in this room or at least keep meeting. Maybe we got jobs or whatever. So we're going to keep meeting back here every single night until we all agree the exact same thing on every single issue. Okay, so now we have unity in our church, in our local church. So we've got to get together with every church in our county, right? So it was probably hard enough for us to get on the same page within our church. It might have taken us 6 months. It might have taken us 6 years to get everybody on the same page in our church. But now this is what we all believe. In the meantime, people are coming and going, right? New members and old people, older members are leaving, things like, you know, whatever. So we're having to catch all these people up in the meantime, right? So, but we've done that. We've unified our church. So we've got to meet now. So there's a civic center. We're in Rome, Georgia. So there's a civic center downtown that holds 5,000-6,000 people when you pull all the seats out and everything. So all the pastors and probably the lay leaders or whoever from your church now have to go to this civic center downtown, and we've got to stay there with all these other church representatives until we're all on the same page about every single issue. And, you know, one of the first things we got to do is decide what's important. You know, what do we have to agree on? What issues do we have to absolutely agree on before we can leave this room? Well, you know, if we're going to be unified, it would be all of them. The Bible, like we said earlier, says, let there be no division among you. Wow. So which means, you know, and there's a great article by Al Mohler that kind of ranks all these things. And in terms of, there's three different tiers of what's important and what's not. And, you know, so you look at those things. Like I said, not important is not a good way to say it, but less, you know, lower tiered. Not necessary to salvation or something like that. But so we got to decide in what order to kind of attack these things. So we start knocking them off one at a time. Well, we got to get everybody in the whole town to agree on it, right? Everybody in the whole town. Now, having said that, there are a couple of hundred churches in our town. So what's not going to happen is that we're never, ever, ever all going to agree on every single issue. So let's just say, for the sake of this podcast, that 80% of the churches there come together on 100% of the issues. So we got to kick the other 20% out. Sorry, not sorry. You're not part of the church if you can't align with the Bible, because that's what we've done. We hadn't just decided to agree on things. We've decided that this is what the Bible says. Like this, we've prayed about it. Okay. We've let God open our hearts to the scriptures and allow us to understand what it is he's saying. And that's what we're going to do. It's not like I said, it's not what we decided to do. It's what the Bible says. And we have opened ourselves up to let God help us understand that, to reveal that to us. So that's what we're doing. 80% of us have done that. And that's a crazy number. That would probably never happen. So we got to kick the other 20% out now, right? Okay. So you guys aren't part of the church anymore. You're fired. Get out. All right. So we settled Rome, Georgia, Floyd County, here where we are. Now we got to go to Atlanta. And we've got to meet with, I think there are 88 counties in Georgia. I'm probably wrong. There's a lot. We have a lot. So all the counties are represented. We go to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you know, that holds 80,000 people or whatever. And all the, we send representatives from each county because we agree on these things now, right? Each county has hashed this out, and we are going to meet at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and the entire state is going to agree on all these things all over again. Now, we've all been meeting, you know, in different places at different times, but all these groups have decided on what they agree on, right? So now they've all got to come together, and all the groups have to decide again what it is that the Bible says and how we're going to follow it and things like that. And, you know, by this point, who knows, maybe 10 years has gone by, because that's, you know, how hard is it to get two people to agree on anything, much less thousands of people. But this is what it would take. You know, we're to the state level right now. Like, we hadn't even, you know, other counties and other states are doing this at the same time. And so that's the next step in the process. Once we get Georgia settled out and we got, you know, 80% of the people on the state level in, and we've kicked another 20% of the people out, you're not part of the church anymore. Get right, you know, whatever. But maybe we get 90 this time, who knows? But if we're following the Bible, it should be 100%. It's a shame that it wouldn't be. But you kind of see the process here, like what would happen, how it would have to go. Can you imagine how long this would take? But that's the way it should be. That it sounds crazy. It sounds impossible. But that's the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to be divided at all. You know, in this scenario, there are no longer Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian and Pentecostal churches in Rome and Floyd County. There aren't. We fixed it. Like, they're gone. We're just the body of Christ now. So my church is HBC. It's not Hollywood Baptist Church anymore. It's just Hollywood Body of Christ. You still have a name on there so people know where to find your building or whatever. But we agree with all these other churches now. But just imagine the process that it would take. But it's that important, and it should be. We've let it get to this point now, and it's the cat is out of the bag, right? So it's a matter of putting the toothpaste back in the tube at this point. It's hard. It seems impossible, but it really is that important, because the Bible says no division. It doesn't say, you know, like we said, some issues are, they don't seem as quite as important as others, and we can kind of prioritize them, but it says at the end of the day, no division at all. So we'd have to sort through everything. We'd have to kick people out, and we would have to, you know, holy smokes, what a process. But it's that important, and it's our fault it's gotten this way. We don't have anybody else to blame. We get lazy. There are so many churches in my town. There probably are in your town too. There's so many churches that I know I can attest to firsthand in my town that got started because somebody got mad and decided they didn't want to go to a church anymore. So they started their own, right? We've got a million little churches that started that way. We don't like, they did so-and-so. We don't like it. We're leaving. We're going to start my own church. Well, all right. That's what you want to do. But you better follow the Bible on all these things, and you better be able to tell this other church why, you know, and we're coming up on the anniversary of the start of the Protestant Reformation, where Martin Luther nails the 95 Theses to the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany, and he's going to straighten out the Catholic Church. Now, we teach a lot of times that Luther wanted to break off from the Catholic Church, and he wanted to start as a, he didn't want to do that. That was not his plan. He wanted to fix the church he was in. So that should be our goal. Now, we should obviously be starting churches, but we should start churches to create more opportunities to strengthen the body of Christ and be able to go out and reach more people with the gospel. It shouldn't be because we got mad at the church down the street. Right? So that's the idea, but we're doing it because we're mad. And Luther was mad too, right? He was mad at the Catholic Church. They were selling indulgences and doing all kinds of sketchy stuff. But his idea wasn't to start a new church. It was to fix the church. It was to fix the Catholic Church, get them back on the right track, following the Bible again, you know, teaching the Bible to other people. And he didn't want to split off. He didn't want to start the Protestant Reformation. That's not what he had in mind when he walked up those steps to nail those theses on the front door of that church. And it shouldn't be what we've got in mind either. We shouldn't just jump ship and leave churches because we got mad. You know, that shouldn't be the first thing that you do. If the church that you're in is not following the Bible and they do something that is, you know, heretical or anything short of that, that just doesn't line up with Scripture one way or another, you should definitely get out of there. But before you dip out of there, you should do your best to fix it, right? You should try. You should talk to the pastor, talk to your deacon, your Sunday school teacher, whatever you got to do. You should try to fix it. And then if it don't work, you should get out of there. That's when you leave the church. But we don't do that. We get mad at one thing and we leave instead of doing our best to unify the church and to get everybody on the same page and to help everybody see the Scripture the way that it should be seen. That's our job. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, as believers, we're supposed to lift each other up and to edify each other and to strengthen each other so that we can all go out from our local church and recruit for the body of Christ, basically, you know, to spread the gospel. But, you know, it's this process and it's hard and we don't want to do it. So we don't have a synod of our town. We don't have a synod of our church. You know, it seems like the Bible's hard to understand, so we don't bother working on it by ourselves. We don't read Scripture. We don't memorize Scripture. We don't pray for God's revelation of the meaning of Scripture for ourselves. We don't do that. So, you know, then we get sucked into whatever bandwagon comes along that day, and we end up following some false teacher or, you know, not even, I say that false teacher like it's always an intentional thing. Sometimes whoever we're following just doesn't understand, but we don't bother to do our homework, so we don't understand either. And then we get drug along behind this guy. But, you know, unity is the idea. It should be what we're looking for. Luther tried to unify the Catholic Church. He tried to get the Catholic Church back on the right page, and they were going to kill him for it. So it was a good time for him to leave. They weren't going to have it, right? He tried. He tried at the Diet of Worms, which is the council they called him in front of to get him to recant. And if he didn't recant, they were just going to kill him. Well, he told him he couldn't recant, and then he had to flee the scene or whatever and spent the rest of his life on the run because they were going to kill him. But he tried to fix it first. We should try to fix it first. We should, you know, if there's some kind of beef we got at church, we should try to fix it. If it's with one person or if it's with the church bylaws or the the confession of faith or whatever the case may be, we should try to fix it first. Unity should be the ultimate goal at all times. Not just unity, unity with Scripture, with the Word of God, with the true meaning of the Word of God, and not the meaning that we want from the Word of God. That's what gets us in trouble so many times. We get our emotions involved in our hermeneutics, which is the way that we understand and interpret Scripture. We get tied up in it emotionally. Why? That's mean. I don't want to do, you know, well, too bad. Gospel's tough, you know, and I don't mean for this to sound like an episode of a, you know, I don't want to ever do a rant on here. I don't like doing that. And I don't want that to sound like what this is. This is, it's meant to be a positive thing and to point toward unity, because that's what's most important, is that we be unified and not have division among us. That's because that's what the Scripture says in no uncertain terms. But we've got to swallow some pride to get to that point. You know, I like I said, I don't like being called a Calvinist. Maybe you don't like being called a Methodist or a Arminian or a Paedo-Baptist or, you know, whatever. Whatever your thing is, we got to get rid of these labels. And we've got to all get on the same page. And if we can't get on the same page, then we will know who the goats are, you know, the sheep and the goats, the wheat and the chaff, and we know who's who as far as who wants to follow the Scripture and who doesn't. If a person's not even willing to have a conversation with you about it, maybe they don't want to follow the Scripture. You know, a lot of times we feel like we're so married to our position that we don't even want to talk about it. Well, you better. You had to talk about it, because if you think you've got it and you think somebody else doesn't, then it's on you to try to help them. Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to preach the gospel, even to people that think they know it. So don't shy away from these conversations, which means you're going to have to know what you're talking about. So study your Bible and pray about it. You know, that maybe sounds like it's oversimplifying things, but that's where it's at. You know, we have a direct line to the creator of the universe, who also happened to be the one that inspired this book that we read. And that's where we draw our beliefs from. So get your emotions out of it. Swallow your pride or flush it or whatever you got to do with it. And let's get on the same page. Now, I'm encouraging all of you pastors, lay people, just church going folks, whoever's listening to this, to not just consider this, but to push for it to happen. Yeah, right? It's scary, isn't it? So push for it to happen. Try to get other pastors in your town to come together and talk about these things and hash them out. And I'm not talking about, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention kind of gets together and pokes at this thing with a stick every now and then and goes, well, you know, we maybe next year we'll get on the, no. We've got to be on the same page. So I'm not asking you, I'm telling you, pastors, people, whoever, like I said, is listening to this, this is something we need to work on. We got to do it. We need to be unified. And it might take 6 months. It might take 60 years, but it needs to be the ultimate goal. We shouldn't have to drive to the next town to find a church that, you know, we can tolerate. We need to be able to find one that believes the same thing as we do down the street from our house. So that's the goal. And that's sort of the point here of this entire episode. It just happened to, it didn't just happen. There's no such thing as happenstance. God, you know, appoints times and places for things. So he appointed this to happen near Reformation Day. I just think that's cool. I'm a big fan of Martin Luther and the movement that he started. Whether he meant to or not, it ended up being a pretty cool thing. Because now I get to go to a church where they let me read the Bible. And I know what it says about, you know, false teachings and things like that. And I encourage you to do the same thing. Study up. Get with it. Try to get your church all on the same page. Try to get your church to get with other churches. There's no sense in all these churches that we have that won't even, like, we won't even have a barbecue at the church down the street because they believe different than us. Well, maybe we ought to work on getting on the same page, because doggone it, barbecue is good. And we should all get together and, you know, have a big kickball game in celebration of all of us coming together. anyway, I'm gonna ramble, I guess, if I keep going, but you get the point, I think. I hope. If not, you know, hit that little circle button with the arrow on it and start this thing over again. But we got to all get on the same page. But thank you guys for listening. As always, couldn't do this without you. If I did, it wouldn't make sense. I'd just be talking into this microphone. But thank you for listening. And I love you. Thankful for you. God bless. We'll see you next time.